I'm going to call it, Let God Open Your Eyes. I don't know if this sounds a little loud to me. Okay, thank you. Well, hello, there you go. Okay, so let God open your eyes. And you know, this teaching is kind of a foundational teaching, I would say. Probably everybody in this room has heard this type of topic taught in probably many different ways. But, you know, I thought about this, and I was talking to another believer, and I said, you know, sometimes I feel like what I'm going to teach is just so foundational. And she shared with me, but that's what we need to continue to do over and over. When you look at doctors going to school, they don't just learn how to tie this little knot and then go to the surgery. They have basic things they have to take steps to get to the point where they can really minister to people, heal people, work on people in the emergency room or in the surgery room. Coaches, what do they have their teams do? Practice the basics. Go back to the foundation and practice it, practice it, practice it. Same thing with our military when you think about it. Go back to the basics. They are always going back to the basics, because it's the basics that you can build upon. And sometimes I think we hear teachings on believing, or we hear teachings on giving, or we hear teachings on forgiveness, and we go, or the renewed mind. And we go, oh yeah, I know that. Really? Because when I ever think that in my mind, I right away, God's like, wow, you got that mastered, huh? Nope. You know, there was a God years back, and he said there are two reasons for spiritual weakness. You remember what they are? Some of you've heard this. Improper spiritual and neglect of the word. And sometimes I think what gets neglected is the basics, because we want, you know, we want something new. We want to see something magnificent. Well, you know what? When you open your eyes in the morning, that's magnificent, because you're connected with your Heavenly Father. And you can talk to him, you can complain to him, you can praise him, or you can just be out of it. And you know what he does? Listens. He has his arms around you, and all he's doing is waiting for us to go, help. And he's right there, you know. And it's not complicated. It's his love, which is foundational. So today I want to look at God opening our spiritual eyes of understanding. So I want to start in Ephesians chapter 1. So take your Bibles, phones, or whatever, and go there. God's word is magnificent, because God really is good in all of our lives, isn't he? He is really, really, he's just an amazing God. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, this is Paul's heart, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who, what? Believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Paul was, his heart was to the Ephesians, to God's people, were, let God open your eyes of understanding, because that's how you're really going to connect with God. We can't connect with God on our own. We need that Spirit of God within us, and that's what happens when we get born again of God's Spirit. We get that Spirit of God and Christ in us, which connects us back to God. And there is nothing he won't do for us according to his word. And in that prayer, he talks about according to your will, right? So we have to really be conscious all the time that we are partners working together with God. It's not just God taking a magic wand and going, whoosh, all your problems are gone. That's not how this works, because we have an enemy. But God has promised so many amazing things in his word. We're his kids, right? He loves us unconditionally, Nothing can separate us from God. He's sending Christ back to get us. That in and of itself, I just cannot even take enough time in my life yet to sit down and think about that situation, because it is beyond my wildest dreams of what that is going to be like. But I'm ready whenever he is. You know, we have eternal life. I mean, you know, and these things are promises from the Word of God. And God is not a man that he lies. So we know without a doubt the things I'm sharing right now are happening in our lives right now and are going to happen no matter what people believe or don't believe. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Nope. He didn't stop with that right there, though. He wants us to really comprehend what he wants for us. This is what he wants, okay? This is from the Word. He wants us to be more than what? Now. Not next week. Not 5 years from now. Now. He wants us to live the abundant life now. He wants us to prosper now. You getting it? He wants to see this manifested in our lives. He wants us to be in health now. He wants us to walk worthy of our calling now. He wants us to be lights of this world now. He wants us to turn our eye. He wants us to take people's hearts and teach them the Word, to turn their eyes from darkness to what? Now. Not next week when I'm feeling better. Not tomorrow when somebody might come and approach me. He wants us to walk with these things in our hearts and the attitude of heart to serve him and be obedient to him and do these things when? Now. Now. Go to Acts 26. I picked this section because I think it's got some really great points in it. And this is where Saul, at the time, was going to Damascus to get a bunch of Christians and throw them in prison and so they could be killed. This is Saul, right? And on the way to Damascus, something miraculous happens in Saul's life. Acts chapter 26, let's go to verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from who? Chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, I don't know about you, but Saul had done some pretty mean things to God's people. He had spoken publicly against this man called Jesus. I mean, he was evil to God's people. And what did Jesus Christ tell him to do? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I have sent thee. So this is Jesus Christ, and Saul. And this is, you think about this. Ever got caught telling a lie? Ever got caught doing something you shouldn't do? How do you, yeah, right. That was my son, of course. So, but you know what? How did you feel when you got caught? I mean, especially if that person's standing right in front of you. Whoa. So this is what God did to Saul. And he said, now I send thee to open their eyes. Whose eyes? There. Who's the they're talking about, do you think? The Gentiles. And to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That is quite an assignment for a man who just realized Jesus Christ is real. He did get raised from the dead. He is speaking to me right now. Now, there's a couple of reasons I wanted to use this one. First, this is Saul. Now, we need to think about that. This is a guy who crucified God's people. He was evil. His whole intent was to wipe out Christians, right? He persecuted God's people until his conversion is what he did, okay? Many years after he was converted on the road, God just didn't send him immediately out there to do this. No, it was a few years, quite a few years later. Some people say 15 to 22 years before his ministry became public. What do you think was happening during that time? You think God was working in Saul's heart? Yeah, he gave him a new name, Paul. And you know what had to happen at that conversion? God did that, but Saul had to do something. What did Saul have to do? He had to open his heart first to God, to Jesus Christ talking to him from the Father, right? Because Jesus Christ was sent down there to give him this message. God sent Jesus Christ to do that. Big deal there. You know what? And then he had to change his mind. Saul had to stop living the way Saul thought was the right way to live and take his heart and line up his heart with whose heart? God. And God needed to teach him how to do that. He had to learn to walk by that Spirit. So that's why I picked this, because none of us have killed a Christian. None of us have done any of the really bad things Saul did. So if God can work with Saul, don't think he can't work with you. You know? And Saul could have made excuses, but I don't see excuses from Saul in the Word. I see him taking full responsibility for what he blew and an open heart and a determination to teach God's people the Word of God, the way God asked him to do. And I think for us, that's an important point to remember here. We are without excuse when it comes to being open to God and changing our minds from what we want to do or feel like doing or think we should do and line it up with God's Word. And that's why it's important to go back to the basics. In order to line ourselves up with God sometime, I mean, I've been out of fellowship. Maybe I'm the only one in the room that ever does that. I don't know. But I've been out of fellowship, and I've had to change my mind and sit down and apologize, ask for forgiveness. Whatever is on your heart when you talk to God, you open up to God. And there's nothing that he cannot fix for us. And look, he can work through a donkey in the Old Testament to get a prophet to go do. I mean, makes a donkey talk. Now, I'm not a donkey. I can talk already. But what I have to do is I have to realize I got to do it God's way. And in this spiritual battle that we're in, and that's why our eyes of understanding need to be enlightened, is people, we have an enemy. God has an enemy. Like I said, if God can work in Paul, he can work in us. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God that worketh within you, both to do and to will." To do. I'll just read it. "For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure." Whose good pleasure?
His.
And you know what? Some of the hardest things for me is I've got this like idea and I want to do it this way, and then God says, the timing's not right. Nope, that's not the right, not right. Nope, don't say it that way. Nope. And you know what? I have to go, okay.
All right, God, I'll wait for you.
But you know what? That's my responsibility to change my mind. It's your responsibility to change your mind when we're not lining up with what God really is directing us to do. Some of us have gone to Tucson, many of us, and the whosoever guys. Who's the whosoever guys? We are the whosoever guys. We are the whosoever guys. And we have to allow God to work in our life. That's another point that you really have to stay locked into, okay? Is God cannot work with us if we do not allow him to work with us. He gave us what? Freedom of will. And when we refuse to change our minds, or we refuse to change our thoughts, or we refuse to change our actions, because all of those are lined up with each other, and we're going to see more about that next Sunday. You know what? Then we tie God's hands. It's not God that doesn't want the deliverance to happen. It's our inability to renew our what? And we can renew our minds. God says we can. And God doesn't ask us anything we can't do. And we know that. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie. We can trust him completely and totally. There is one force out there that doesn't want all these great things for us like God does. You know what I'm saying? In fact, Jesus Christ tells us in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ has come so that we can have life and have it more next week. No, now. From the moment of his resurrection, it became available. And we need to understand that we play a part in that. We have the power and authority. We have the power and authority over the adversary. We do not come from a point of victims. We come from the point of victory. And when the adversary tries to tell you that you can't do something that you know in your heart is in the written word of God, or God has revealed to you through the Spirit, and he tries to talk you out of it, you know what? He's a liar. And we have to be strong enough in our stand, in our walk with our Heavenly Father, that we are not going to allow him to talk us out of doing what God asks us to do. God only wants the best for us. And we have that power and authority at 1 John 4:4. And this is the ESV version. Usually I use the New King James, but I wanted to go to this one because I think it just really magnifies what God is saying here. So 1 John 4:4, little children, ye are from God and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. He that is in you, who is in us? Christ. There is nothing that is too big for us to do, because we have God's promise, number one, and because we have Christ in us, number two. There is nothing that can separate us from those powers. There is something that can keep us from walking in those powers. And what is that? The unrenewed mind. If we don't change our thoughts when we need to change them, then we stop the power of God from flowing. It's still there. But if we get hung up on the past, on somebody hurting us and we can't offer forgiveness, if we want to get even with somebody because they ruined our lives, in our opinion, what does God say to do? Forgive them. And we have the power to do that. We just have to make up our mind that God's direction is bigger than my feeling. So we're coming from that place of victory and not that place of victims. Don't be a victim. Don't allow the adversary to make you a victim. And there are some great keys in this word next week we're going to look at that we apply those. And you know what? It is not hard. And immediately he has to stop. But he will try. He will try to trick you. He will try to get you to be deceived and to think that, Well, that's good for Vicky, but you don't understand what that person did to me. You're right. I don't understand what that person did to you. But you know what I do understand? What people have done to me. And what I have done to people sometimes. When I was out of fellowship. And when I think about that, you know what I think of? Thank you, God, for forgiving me. And then it makes it much easier for me to get that forgiveness in my heart for somebody else. This is basic. But if you want to walk in the power of God, If we want to see signs, miracles, and wonders in our lives, we have to get the basics down. If we can't forgive people and remember what God forgave us for, how are you going to minister to somebody that's really in need? You know? And many times what unforgiveness does is it keeps us locked in this space that's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. It's not bringing good thoughts. But we won't let go of it. Well, then that's a stronghold. We'll learn about that next week. We'll learn about what to do with those strongholds. Ephesians chapter 1. We already went there, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Wow. That is a huge verse of scripture, isn't it? But you know what? That's what I'm praying that this day will do for you. That this teaching today will just get your heart to line up with God's word and get your heart to lock in. And you'll take the time this week to go to this section of the word and to ask God to show you this, to ask God to give you the things that you need from him so that you can have your eyes of understanding enlightened. We can't do this without God. We cannot do this on our own. We are workers together with who? With God. And without him, it won't work. But with him, everything that we need to do and that he directs us to do, we have the ability to do. But you got to take time to spend with God. And whatever your strong time is in the day, some people like to get up early in the morning. Some people like to do it in the afternoon, or some people like to spend time in the evening. My encouragement is to spend time every day with him. Maybe you got 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there. Take that 10 minutes. You will be amazed at what God will reveal to you when you open your heart and put him at that point in your life where you're ready to receive from him. He is an amazing God, and he has promised us great miracles in our lives. And he wants us to have those miracles when? Now. Not next week. Now. One of the things I would like for you to do this week is I would like for you to go take some time and go to the account of in Luke 4, where Jesus Christ, he had just got baptized in Luke 3 by John the Baptist. That's when the Spirit of God came upon him like a what? Dove. And the voice from heaven was, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." That is when the Spirit of God came upon Jesus Christ. Immediately after that, what does God do? He sends him into the wilderness. I want you to go to Luke 4, and I want you to read about that section this week more than once. And when you do, I want you to ask God to open your eyes of understanding, to help you see in your life what it is specifically the adversary trips you up in. And ask God to show you how to get past that area in your life. That is what God did those 40 days and 40 nights. I truly believe that he sent Jesus into the wilderness, and he didn't allow the adversary to tempt Jesus until after he taught Jesus how to walk by that spirit that he had just placed upon him, how to hear God's voice, how deep his relationship was with our Father. That's what we have. When God sees us, he sees who? Jesus Christ. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now think about this. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives where? When? Now. How can we operate it? Now. By being obedient and open to God and his word and his direction. So I really want to encourage you to do that a couple of times this week before we get into some things next week. Because, you know, we are in a spiritual battle. And if people don't believe that, you know what? Get your heads in gear. We are. Look around. Look at the evil in this world. Not giving the adversary credit, but he is not stupid. And he knows our weaknesses. He knows the things of this world that can trip people up. But you know what? We are greater than that because we have Christ in us. But we have to make the decision to spend the amount of time we need with God and His Word and listen with open hearts and willing hearts to change our thinking, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and walk in that power that Jesus Christ walked in now. Okay? So I love you guys. Thanks for coming and listening. Yes, Joe?